for Leologos Radio, the weekly radio program featuring the best in Greek music and culture, plus interviews with Greek and international newsmakers. Leologos Radio with Michael Nevaralekis begins now. That was Dimitra Galani starting off today's program with a song titled Hasan Mekitas. This is the Leologos Radio, the weekly Greek radio program which bridges the global Greek community and which airs worldwide on 17 radio stations across 5 continents and online. My name is Michael Nevaradakis, and today on our broadcast, we will feature, as part of the Leologos interview series, an interview with educator and the chairperson of the board of the Pirate Party of Greece, Thanasis Gounaris, who will talk to us about the Pirate Party party in Greece and across Europe and its positions. Additionally, Gunnaris will share with us his thoughts on the latest political developments unfolding in Greece, and in his role as an educator, he will speak to us about how the economic crisis has impacted schools and school children in Greece, including documented cases of students who are malnourished. Following this interview, stay tuned for our Commentary of the Week segment, where we will discuss the latest developments from Greece, including the latest controversial statements and media appearances by celebrity finance minister Yannis Varoufakis. This commentary will then be followed up by a special musical feature on the late great Greek singer Nikos Papazoglou. Coming up now, though, is this week's edition of the Diálogos interview series and our interview with Thanasis Gunnaris of the Pirate Party of Greece. The Diálogos interview series, our weekly segment featuring interviews on matters pertaining to Greece and the worldwide Greek community. Coming up next here on Diálogos Radio. Joining us today on Diálogos Radio and the Diálogos interview series is Thanasis Gunnaris, the president of the board of the Pirate Party of Greece. And Thanasi, thank you for taking the time, first of all, to speak with us today.
Thank you for inviting me.
To begin, share with us an introduction for our listeners about the Pirate Party in Greece and in Europe, a brief historical overview of the party, and a description of your party's basic positions.
For starters, what I would like to share with your listeners is that the Pirate Party in Greece has been in existence for almost 3 years, since 2012. It is a sister party to the other pirate parties all across Europe and the world. It is recognized by the Greek Supreme Court and it has participated in 3 electoral contests, the 2 parliamentary elections of 2012 and the European election of 2014. It is an official and founding member of the PPU, the Pirate Party of Europe, and it is a member of the PPI, the Pirate Party International. We have a common political platform with all the other pirate parties, and each party adds its own issues which concern its individual country. The basic characteristics of the party is that it began in Sweden at the time that Pirate Bay was being investigated, and most of its members are very active internet users. Its basic principles and transparency, democracy, and a free internet. Opposition to any imposition of control over the internet and over the free exchange of ideas through this medium. What I can say is that our party, in its 3 years of existence in Greece, has accomplished a lot. For instance, in last year's European parliamentary elections, we finished with almost 1% of the vote, which is significant number for us. We have developed across many segments of society an activist presence as well, not with the traditional definition of activism. However, but with a view towards allowing citizens and workers to be able to have a voice and to decide upon issues which concern them. We have been especially successful in doing this in the field of education. We have created the Pirates in Education, which is an activist group in the broadest possible sense of the term, and whose goal is to become an organ through which educators can participate in the decision-making process beyond the existing unions of organization, which often are closely related to political parties. Now, one could say that Pirates in Education are themselves part of the Pirate Party, but we do not operate in the same way. What we believe is that was, a citizen should be informed about everything and should have the ability to make decisions on our own, instead of having others making decisions for us. In other words, one could say that we are against representation, either through labor unions or through the parliament. We believe in the free exchange of ideas and opinions of the citizens and believe that these ideas and opinions need to be supported by our elected officials. We are against the representative form of democracy in that sense, instead of favor direct democracy.
Continuing along this line of thought, what are the positions of the Pirate Party of Greece as far as the key economic issues which the country is currently facing?
The truth is that we have not developed, nor do we want to develop an economic ideology which says that everything will be owned by the state and the state will be the primary employer, for instance, which is leftist point of view. The libertarian point of view that everything must be privatized in order for there to be competition. We have not developed and we do not wish to develop such an ideology. What we are saying, especially at the present time for our country, is that the citizen need to be fully informed about the state of the country's finances instead of passively living through the crisis. And based on this, citizens should have the ability to make decisions. This is something that should have happened a while ago, beginning with whether Greece would have joined the euro, the common currency, an option which is never given to the citizens. The citizens would have been asked at the start of the economic crisis which policy route to take prior to the memorandums and law and agreements being signed. They should have then been consulted about the continuation of these agreements, and they should be asked now in the condition that Greece is now in the most happen next. What is happening right now in Greece is we have a country where no money is circulating, the market has dried up, and even though I'm not necessarily in favor of the market, what I'm trying to say is that the market is not active and no money is circulating. I'm experiencing that in my work, in my personal life, and through friends and family. We don't know what will happen, and there exists a great uncertainty. In my opinion, and in the opinion of the Pirate Party, what needs to happen is that we as citizens must be informed with every last detail about the condition of our country, which alternative option exists, and to make a decision, perhaps through a referendum. This would be a decision that, regardless of that, what it is, we will be obligated to enforce in order for our country to eventually be able to get out of its current crisis and to begin to live again, because for the past few years we are not living. We simply exist and are attempting to survive, nothing more. To summarize, we do not have a distinct economic ideology, but we are a political party that is in favor of Europe. We are part of European coalition of power parties, and we do not want our country for any reason to depart from the European Union. But we can no longer sustain this situation with the euro. As a result, a solution needs to be found, but this solution needs to come directly from citizens, from a process of participatory democracy.
We are speaking with Thanasis Gounaris of the Pirate Party of Greece here on the Alagos Radio and in the Alagos interview series. And as he mentioned earlier, the Pirate Party participated in the parliamentary elections of 2012 in Greece and in last year's European elections. But in addition, the Pirate Party also participated in a number of local and municipal electoral contests in Greece as well. How do you characterize the resonance of the Pirate Party amongst the Greek public?
I must say that our party has gained some momentum, which is increasingly evident from day to day. From a small statistical survey which we conducted, we have determined that out of every 10 new households in Greece which connect to the internet, we gain 2 to 3 new voters. The internet is the only medium which remains completely free, because unfortunately the mass media is biased and aligned with specific political parties for specific reasons. The only medium which has remained free and open is the internet, both for information and for entertainment, and because we are in favor of net neutrality and an open internet free of political or other biases, we are gaining popularity. Aside from this, with our ongoing actions within Greek society and our participation in various organizations and dialogues that are taking place, and with joint positions that we have developed with other parties and organizations, we have attained a resonance which continues to grow. For example, prior to the European parliamentary elections last year, the Ecologist Green Party approached us for an electoral collaboration. Was their proposal, which we accepted after a vote of our members. What I'm trying to say is that other political forces in Greece and Greek society as a whole now view us as a serious, responsible and well-organized political force.
Aside from your collaboration with the Ecologists Greens in last year's European parliamentary elections, you also formed a collaboration with the mayor of Athens, Yorgos Kaminis, for last year's municipal elections. How has this collaboration worked out?
What I'd like to say first is that we participated in the electoral ballot of Mr. Kaminis, the mayor of Athens, in last year's elections. While in the city of Thessaloniki we had our own autonomous candidacy and did rather well, approaching 2% of the vote. In other cities and regions through Greece we have participated in a number of electoral collaborations. For instance, in the city of Chalkida, we participated in the electoral candidacy of the incumbent and current mayor. In Athens, we did quite well and we played a role in helping Mr. Kaminis attain a lead of 1 or 2% of the vote in the first round of voting. Thanks to the votes received from the members of the Pyrrha Party and through our campaign efforts, particularly through the internet. At the present time, we are participating in various social efforts that are being organized by the municipality of Athens, and are also participating in municipal committees which pertain to schools and education. We are also in discussion to begin a radio program on the municipal radio station. Another thing that we have done is that members of the Pyrrha Party have worked on a piece of open source software known as Fix My Street that have translated into Greek, and we have proposed to various municipalities through Greece, including Athens. This is a completely free piece of software and with no cost to municipalities or to the citizens. It is an app which anyone will be able to download on their mobile phones once it is ready, and we have just presented it to the City Council of Athens and to various deputy mayors. And what this app does is that a citizen who notices any quality of life issue on the street, whether it is excessive garbage or stray animal or an accident or anything else, he can immediately take a photo and send it through the app to the appropriate municipal agency, who will then investigate the issue and keep the citizen informed about the report through this app and through their computers. This is more or less what we are doing with the municipality of Athens. Our collaboration is going well and it is based on mutual trust and understanding, and I believe that is a very good choice for the Pyrrha Party.
We are on the air with Thanasis Gounaris of the Pyrrha Party of Greece here on the Dialogos Radio and in the Dialogos interview series. And Thanasi, the Pyrrha Party did not participate in this year's parliamentary elections. Why did the party choose not to participate this year?
This is actually a very long story, and I will try to summarize it as best as I can. This may actually be the first time that this story is being told in its entirety. Immediately after last year's European parliamentary elections, we did rather well, attaining almost 1% of the vote. We almost immediately, within a week, began to reach out all of the other political parties which did not make it into the European Parliament, because we firmly believe that everyone must be represented in Parliament. We held two meetings in the intellectual center of the municipality of Athens with all of the parties, which did not get voted into Parliament, with the goal of creating a broad-based coalition that will be able to shoot for electoral success. Many parties responded to our call, initially about 15 parties in all. Through the summer, we remained in discussion and close contact with about 10 of these parties. We decided upon a name, a logo, we developed a constitution, a code of conduct, and a founding manifesto for this coalition. And we have even decided more or less how our candidacies will be broken down across different regions of Greece, how they will be divided or among the parties. And the last minute, through in late December, the first party which had responded to our call and which had received 1.4% of the vote in the European parliamentary elections, the Hellenes European Citizens Party of Mr. Hatzimarkakis, backed out because Mr. Hatzimarkakis decided at the last minute that he wanted to shoot for a career with a major party. And even through he had participated in our discussion from day one, and despite us trying to explain to him that he wanted to do was a mistake, he decided to back out. So we lost one party, and this created a bit of a problem within our coalition, while the very next day yet another party, for reasons that are not clear also, backed up. This was the Dimiuria Xana political party. So in the end, 7 or 8 parties remained, and we are the biggest one with almost 1% of the vote. But despite the support we received from our members for this initiative, after these two parties departed, our plans changed, and because there was not very much time remaining before elections to collect money in order to participate, because it was January and our members hadn't paid their annual dues yet, and two parties which had pledged some funds decided to back out. So we decided not to participate. Most of other parties in this coalition also did not participate for the same reasons. One party through which did participate was the Centrist Union of Vasilis Leventis. And what I can say is that many of our voters support the Centrist Union, and this is likely one reason why it approached the 2% of the vote on the elections. We support them unofficially because this particular party had one characteristic which the other parties lacked, which has a strong anti-corruption platform. And since we are very much in favor of transparency, it is given that we are against corruption. And we felt that this party of their platform resonated with our own positions to a large extent. So one reason we did not participate was financial, and the other reason was the lack of time to regroup and prepare after the departure of two parties from our coalition. We could not put our party and our voters in a position to support financially an electoral campaign under these circumstances, especially since Greek society was also heavily polarized between the two leading parties, Syriza and New Democracy. We decided to let the situation play out. We are closely monitoring, and we are preparing for the next electoral contest, which we believe will not be too long from now.
Do you believe that it is possible for this broad coalition of small parties to be developed once again?
Absolutely, because the hope on change promised by Syriza, while it hasn't been extinguished in its entirety yet, it is heading in that direction. As a result, there is a large percentage of voters who are not Syriza supporters, but who voted for Syriza in the last elections in order to oust the previously governing parties. We're now seeing that nothing is changing, but who is likely unwilling to go back to vote for the two traditional parties, New Democracy and PASOK. We all saw that what happened with the Democratic Left Party, which collaborated with these two parties when they were in government. I should say that the Democratic Left Party here did actually reach out of us for an electoral collaboration, as did the Green Party, proposals which our party members voted to reject. We could, in other words, have collaborated with these parties, but the decision from our members was negative. I do believe through that this coalition could be resurrected again in the future, and there are actions being taken in discussion taking place, but this time they are taking place in secrecy, so that they are not subject to any external interference, and in other to end up being a last-minute surprise. Because now, honestly, because this effort at a broad-based coalition received so much publicity, part of which was our fault, I think. Various problems appeared which ended up dashing our hopes. Another thing that I would like to say is that there were major political figures who also approached us about being a part of this coalition, such as the former member of parliament with the Democratic Left and with PASOK Vasilis Economou, which we rejected.
In what way does the Pirate Party evaluate the actions undertaken by Greece's new government after almost 2 months in office, especially in light of their pre-election promises and pledges?
The truth is that we are abstaining from adopting any firm position for now. We are allowing some time to go by first to see where things will end up. As a result, we don't have an official position at the moment. Many of our members are beginning to become uneasy with the government's broken promises on a number of issues, while other members are adopting a wait-and-see approach. My personal position on this lies somewhere in the middle. It does not bother me so much that certain things aren't happening, as much as the fact that certain promises are not being kept. It is much worse to promise 100 things and deliver on 3 of those than to promise 3 things and to deliver all of the 3 things. That's where my problem lies. Either the new government didn't know what it will do once in office, which I don't believe is the case, or they are completely amateurs. What bothers me is that the hopes of much of the Greek public are not being realized. And my fear is that many people who want the change, since they are not seeing that this the current government delivers such a change, may decide to move in the completely opposite direction to other extreme political forces. I believe you know which party I'm talking about. This is why I believe that it is important for us to develop another political force for all of us who believe in transparency, in democracy, in clear operations, and in clear positions, to develop a broad-based coalition which we are unable to form for the previous elections and to provide an alternative to Greek society, so that our country can stand on its feet again instead of merely relying upon hope.
We are on the air with Thanasis Gounaris of the Pirate Party of Greece here on the Dialogos Radio and in the Dialogos interview series. And Thanasi, one of the biggest issues that the Pirate Party is involved with are issues pertaining to the free and open internet, issues regarding new technologies, and issues pertaining to transparency. How do you evaluate Greece's national policies as far as these issues are concerned? And what proposals does the Pirate Party have for things that could be changed with regards to these issues in Greece?
With regards to transparency, what I can say is that many of the decisions which have been undertaken, many of the discussions which have taken place in recent years on a political level have occurred without the public being informed. There have been major changes made to laws, major reforms which have been passed without the public having a clear picture of what was happening. Everything is being done under a cloak of secrecy, where nobody knows where decisions are being made, who is making this decision, and for what reason. All of this is rather untransparent. And as a result, we, as the Pirate Party, propose that all political decisions that are made should be done in such a way that the citizens have an opportunity to participate. This is why I was saying earlier that we have not been consulted on anything. For example, if many citizens feel that a certain law that solves a certain problem should be passed, they should have the option to collect signatures either electronically or on paper to submit, let's say, 100,000 or 300,000 signatures to the parliament and to force the parliament to debate this proposal and to make a decision. Additionally, if a law is passed which receives a lot of opposition among members of the public, then citizens could collect signature and perhaps call a referendum on the issue and call the parliament into taking action on the issue. In order for there to be transparency, it is not enough for laws and government documents to be posted in the internet, because many times related amendments And articles are buried deep within an unrelated law and go unnoticed. Everything needs to operate with transparency and with the participation of the citizens. Something else that is also important and which could allow the Greek state to save a lot of money is the entire Greek state apparatus in schools and government agencies and so forth begin to use open source software. We should not be required to pay Microsoft or any other company to purchase operating system or office software or the like when there is a free open source software which can be used without any cost and which in many cases is of better quality. And in addition, a lot of this open source software will allow older computers to be used, which currently cannot keep up with the constant updates of software such as Windows. All of this is related and creates massive expenditures for the state. Many computers could use free open source software, freeing up public funds. And one other idea that we had, which we were forced within our own parties, for many of our members, since some of them did not have the financial means to pay their dues to our party, to make their computers available to mine Litecoins or Bitcoins, digital electronic currency. In other words, government agencies, after they shut down in the afternoon, often leave their computers running, and since they have the computers on anyway, they could use those computers to mine the electronic currency.
From what I understand, aside from your position in the Pirate Party, you are an educator in a school in Central Athens. In what way would you say that the economic crisis has impacted the quality of education and the operation of schools in Greece? And in addition, how has the crisis impacted the students and their families?
What I can say is that in my 30 years as an educator, what I have seen happen this past 4 or 5 years is without precedent. There are children who come to school having eaten one meal the previous day, perhaps consisting for plain rice or bread, about 20 or 30% of their families do not have anyone that is employed. As a result that we have done these past 2 years is to request the assistance of the Greek state at first, which however turned its back to us, initially denying that there was such a crisis in Greek schools, that there were students who were hungry and who were fainting, claiming that this was an exaggeration. Even though we were seeing this happen every day, as a result, we were forced to turn to private native, despite us not wanting to do so, in order to attain support for the student and their families. We request assistance from the municipality of Athens and from the church as well. So right now, for the second year in a row, we have secured for almost 450 students meals that are being delivered through a non-profit organization, Prolipsis. Is the name, which is affiliated with the Stavros Niarchos Foundation. Each day, every over 400 containers of milk and yogurt are delivered to our school, as well as sandwich and fruit, enabling students to have something to eat and to be able to concentrate in their studies as a result. If someone came to our school 2 years ago, they would not have heard any children. If someone screaming or shouting, that were all exhausted and worn out from hunger. There was a situation where you would have thought that something serious had happened, and they were all suffering from some serious illness. They were unable to follow their coursework. Now, though, things are different. Last year, we also had 80 to 100 portions of hot food delivered to our school daily through the municipality for students who remained in school late. And even now we have 30 containers of food which are delivered to us and which are given to the families of students. It's come from Apostoli, which is founded by the Church of Greece and Archaeodense. In this way, we have been able to develop a safety net for these families and for these students, and the situation now is a bit better. One final situation that we'll mention happened just a few days ago. Most houses in Greece no longer have heat because families cannot afford oil or natural gas. In many cases, they perhaps have an electric heater, if they even use that. So we had a family where one of the children was asleep. The parents opened an electric heater to keep warm, and the mother stepped out to pick up her two other children from school. And what happened was that the child at home woke up and knocked over the electric heater, causing a fire which completely destroyed their apartment, which almost killed the child, who had to be rescued by firefighters and the police. Everything in the home was destroyed, but we are able to offer our assistance and support, reaching out to people here in the neighborhood, find them a new apartment to rent, donated furniture, clothes, blankets, and other items. We were able to allow this family to rebuild, and unfortunately, these are daily occurrences here in our area and through all of Greece. The economic crisis has had extremely adverse impacts on the country, and unfortunately, the European people either do not understand this or choose not to care, which is extremely unfortunate. But at the same time, no government here in Greece, not even the current government, is doing anything to turn the situation around.
We are on the air with Thanasis Gounaris of the Pirate Party of Greece here on the Alagos Radio and in the Alagos interview series. And Thanasi, there's also the issue of bullying in schools, which we saw again recently with the suicide of Greek student Vangelis Iakoumakis. How do you respond as an educator to this phenomenon?
What I would say is that we are in favor of the peaceful resolution of conflict and differences, whether it is between students, between families, or between citizens in general. Violence only leads to more violence, which is then transferred into somebody else or into ourselves, as with the case with the apparent suicide of the student Iakoumakis. These issues, however, need to be resolved at a very early age and the state of a person's life. For example, in my school there is a tremendous percentage of students, about 50 or 80%, who are immigrants or children of immigrants who are born in Greece. We have developed in our school various facilities which differences can be understood and resolved. For example, when you have a student who is not performing well with their studies or is facing a learning disability or some sort of psychological issues, we have developed a special unit in our school with special teachers who work directly with the students every day in order to allow them to overcome the issues and they are facing and to be brought back along with the rest of the students' body, without fear of being bullied or harassed by any other students. That is one issue. The other issue is that we also have children who are born in other countries and who do not speak Greek or speak it very poorly. And in order for them to not to be the target of other students, we have developed Greek as a second language classes with a special teacher, allowing them to quickly pick up the language and to soon begin taking classes with the rest of the students without a problem. If you undertake such actions and maintain a very calm and collective response to the various misbehavior actions of the students, and show flexibility with both parents and the educators and everyone that is generally involved, then you create a sort of team effort and pedagogical climate which is positive and in which it is extremely difficult to cause any problems. There will always be small fights and disagreements, but it is here where you master the experience and the knowledge to determine what is a serious issue and what is something that you can simply allow to blow over. Here in my school we have about 450 students, and fortunately we do not have any serious issues of bullying or violence among the students. There are, however, cases of bullying which take place outside of the school, which unfortunately we cannot respond to. And of course, there is the issue of domestic violence as well, which also needs attention. Due to crisis, in particular in recent years, there is an increase in cases of domestic violence in households. And this is what happens when there is a poverty and unemployment and people are scrambling from day to day, figuring out how to survive. The children are often witness to such violence, and that is why there needs to be a level of support for them and trained personnel who can deal with these issues when they arise. At our school, even through, it is in a very poor area of Athens with lots of immigrants, an area which has changed considerably and shockingly over the past 10 years. We continue to support each other to maintain the peace, to provide a quality education. And I can say that I'm especially happy within such a difficult situation we have managed some good things.
In closing, where can our listeners find out more information about the Pirate Party in Greece, its positions and its actions and initiatives?
They can visit our main website, www.pirateparty.gr. They can find the website for the Pirate Parties and Pirates in Education, which is www.piratedu.gr, as well as the website for the Pirates in Athens at www.piratesinathens.gr. And they can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Google+. We have a forum on our main website where there is a section that is open to the public, as well as a section which anybody can read, but which is only open to our members to participate in. All of our party procedures are open and transparent. We have developed a mobile app for Android device which allows users to be informed about everything that we do. And I should mention that all of our central meetings of our board, which are held at least once per month, are broadcast live over the internet and open for anyone to participate in if they request it. And after the meetings, we post the recordings as well as the transcripts of these meetings online on our wiki, as is, without any editing or changes, allowing any member of the public to find out what we have to say, what was said, and what decisions were made, if any, of our past meetings. This is extremely important, as no other political party does this. There is no such transparency, nor will there be from any other part of Greece. We are very proud of this. We have nothing to hide. We are ordinary people and citizens. We want to change things for the better without going in a left or right wing direction. We just want positive change, a different and better society, and we'll move forward with cultural understanding and peace between nations. That is why we are also in favor of open borders, of a Europe where all member states will not have borders between each other. And then anybody can also find out about the actions of the European Pirate Party and our members in the European Parliament, Giulia Reda, as well as the documentation is available online and translated in terms of what the European Pirate Party has to say about Europe. This is very important. We were a part of this process from the very establishment of the Pirate Party and were influential in many of the positions that were adopted. And anybody can go online and read and find out how different and how progressive we are compared to many other parties which unfortunately want to take us back to a previous time.
Well, Thanasi, thank you very much for taking the time to speak with us today here on the Alois Radio and in the Alois interview series, and best of luck with all of your efforts.
Oh, thank you for having me.
We just wrapped up this week's edition of the Dialogos interview series here on the Dialogos Radio, where we spoke with educator Thanasis Gounaris of the Pirate Party of Greece. As with all of our interviews, the podcast of this interview will soon be available on our website, dialogosmedia.org, where you can also find our on-demand programming, our articles and written work, our past playlists, and listen to our online radio station, Dialogos Radio 24/7. Our podcasts are also available in the official Dialogos Radio apps, for Android, Kindle, and BlackBerry devices, and for Google Chrome, and in iTunes, TuneIn.com, the Windows Marketplace, and Enobex Radio, WeCast, and Player FM apps for various smartphones. Coming up now here on the Alagos Radio is our commentary of the week. The Alagos Radio's commentary of the week. Each week, Michael Navradakis provides views and opinions on issues pertaining to Greece and to the worldwide Greek community. Coming up next, here on the Alagos Radio. Yannis Varoufakis is at it again. Greece's celebrity finance minister, who soon after the January 25th election spoke about the importance of Greeks living a so-called austere lifestyle, took time out of his busy schedule recently to partake in a photo shoot with his trophy wife, Danai Stratou, at their well-to-do Athens residence with a full view of the Acropolis. The same celebrity finance minister who spoke of an austere lifestyle and who doesn't wear suits or ties was photographed with a plate full of heaps of expensive seafood at the same time that 300,000 of his compatriots have had their electricity cut off and who are hungry and malnourished. I mentioned the word compatriots just now, but perhaps I should have been a little bit more careful. Careful because Varoufakis has repeatedly stated over the past couple of weeks that he is European, not Greek. In an interview with German public television, Varoufakis stated that it is time that we as Europeans speak as one people, just as Americans do, going on to say that Europe is our homeland. This was preceded by a posting on Varoufakis' blog, where he wrote that Europe's future will be bright to the extent that we manage to use the euro crisis as an opportunity to bring about a United States of Europe, and that anything less will lead to the fragmentation and eventual collapse of the euro and the disintegration of the EU, with unspecified terrible consequences for Europeans. Of course, these are not the only instances of verbal insanity that can be attributed to Varoufakis. In a recently discovered speech given by Varoufakis almost 2 years ago in May of 2013, he talks about why devaluation is bad for Greece, then turns around and applauds Argentina for sticking a middle finger at the IMF, then continues by saying that Greece, unlike Argentina, does not have exports or a Chinese export market that is ready. He further rambles on, stating that Cyprus, unlike Greece, should leave the euro because it has already imposed capital controls and because its banks are insolvent. He then justifies Germany's mode of thinking, where, as stated by Tyler Durden over at Zero Hedge, the only thing that matters is the preservation of wealth. That's a heck of a lot of contradictions, even by Varoufakis' standards. He applauds Argentina for sticking its finger at the IMF, but recently he stated his willingness to work as Greece's finance minister with the IMF because it, quote, holds positions he personally agrees with. He says Greece has nothing to export, something which is not true, and which we will analyze on our program most likely on next week's commentary, but he ignores the reason why Greek production has been decimated, namely the policies of the European Union and the Eurozone. He then justifies a potential exit from the Eurozone by Cyprus on the basis that its banks are insolvent, even though Greece's banks were and continue to be insolvent as well. The insanity and contradictions don't stop here, however. Recently, Varoufakis admitted what we have been saying here all along, that the new government has gone back on its pre-election promises. The quote from Varoufakis is that, if necessary, we might postpone some of our pre-election pledges. But as we have been seeing over the past 2 months, just about all of these pledges have already been broken or reversed. These statements were mirrored by Panos Kamenos, the leader of the Independent Greeks political party, which is the minority partner in the current Greek coalition government. Kamenos wrote on his Twitter account that Greece's red lines in terms of its negotiations with Europe have not changed, but they have been postponed temporarily. As an old saying goes in Greece, nothing is more permanent than a temporary. To be fair, though, there was one positive development which should be mentioned, the announcement that a committee to audit Greece's public debt will be formed. This announcement was made by the president of the Greek parliament, Zoe Kostandopoulou, after a meeting she held with Eric Toussaint of the Committee to Audit Third World Debt, who was in Athens recently and who will likely be a guest on our program here next week. This committee is being formed despite opposition not just from Europe and the so-called institutions, but also from elements within Syriza itself, including apparently Vasily Varoufakis. It remains to be seen what the results of this audit will be and whether the obstacles which exist both within and outside the government will prevent this committee from doing its job. For Greece's sake, we hope that something good comes out of this and that the audit will be a step towards Greece regaining its sovereignty and the ability to determine its own fate. We just wrapped up our commentary of the week here on the Alagos Radio, and stay tuned for our special musical tribute to the renowned Greek singer Nikos Papazoglou. Nikos Papazoglou is one of the biggest and most beloved names in modern Greek music, with a unique and distinct style of music that made him popular over several decades. Born in the city of Thessaloniki on March 20, 1948, his musical career began during the 1960s as part of bands such as the Olympians and the Zealots. Later on, Papazoglou began to collaborate with artists such as Dionysis Savopoulos, Nikos Xidakis, and especially Manolis Rasoulis, thanks to whom he became known to the Greek public through the album Η Εκδίκηση της Γυφτιάς, which was released in 1978 and which was produced by Dionysis Savopoulos. Papazoglou's next album was released the following year, 1979, titled Talithen, and in all, Papazoglou released 9 albums during his long career, with his last album, titled Ήμουν και εγώ εκεί, coming out in 2009. Aside from his singing, Papazoglou also gave an opportunity to many other rising musicians, artists, and bands to make a name for themselves through his recording studio named Το Αγροτικόν, which was located in his birth city of Thessaloniki. Papazoglou collaborated with many of these artists and bands on their releases as a producer, sound engineer, and musician. Unfortunately, Papazoglou's illustrious musical career was cut short prematurely on April 17, 2011, when he lost his battle with cancer. However, Papazoglou left behind numerous beloved songs and albums which remain extremely popular to this day. We will hear some of Papazoglou's music as we continue our special tribute here on the Alagos Radio.
Εκείνος που δεν ξέρει και δεν αγαπά σαν πως θες κι εσύ καημένη και στην Αθήνα μέσα ζει στη ξενιτιά. Αχ, Ελλάδα, σ' αγαπώ και βαθιά σ' ευχαριστώ γιατί με μαθες και ξέρω να ανασένω που βρεθώ, να πεθαίνω που πατώ και να μην σε υποφέρω. Αχ, Ελλάδα, θα σ' το πω πριν λαλήσεις πετεινώ 13 φορές μ' αρνιέσαι. Με κβιάζεις, μου κολλάς, σαν τον όθο με πετάς, μα κι απάνω μου κρεμιέσαι. Οδυσσέα, γίνα κοντά μου που τα γιαχώματα της πόνος και χαρά. Κάθε ένας είναι ένας που σύνορο πονά. Κι εγώ είμαι ένας κανένας που σας έργιανα. Αχ, Ελλάδα, σ' αγαπώ και βαθιά σε ευχαριστώ, γιατί με μάθες και ξέρω να ανασένω που βρεθώ, να πεθαίνω που πατώ και να μην σε υποφέρω. Αχ, Ελλάδα, θα σ' το πω πριν λαλήσεις πετεινώ, 13 φορές μ' αρνιέσαι. Με εκβιάζεις, μου κολλάς, σαν τον όθο με πετάς, μα κι απάνω μου κρεμιέσαι.
We continued our special tribute to Greek singer and musician Nikos Papazoglou here on Dialogos Radio, where we just heard Achelada. This is Dialogos Radio, the weekly Greek radio program which bridges the worldwide Greek community each week with broadcasts on 17 radio stations across 5 continents and online. Today's broadcast is just about ready to come to a close, but we will be back again next week, same time, same place, most likely with an interview as part of the Dialogos interview series with historian and political scientist Eric Toussaint, who is the spokesperson for the Committee to End Third World Debt, and who will tell us about his recent meetings with members of the Greek Parliament and the likely formation of a committee that will audit Greece's public debt. That is coming up most likely next week here on Dialogos Radio and the Dialogos interview series. Until then, we also invite you to read our latest articles and interviews featured on Truthout, including our interviews with economist Roger Boodle and with John Hillary of London-based organization War on Want, as well as our analysis of Syriza's first weeks in government and her many broken promises and campaign pledges. In addition, for our listeners in Greece, our interview with economist Mark Blythe has been published in the new issue of Hot Doc magazine, which is currently available in newsstands and kiosks throughout Greece. You can find all of our articles and interviews through our website as well, dialogosmedia.org. We will wrap up today's program with one final song, once again by Nikos Papazoglou, titled Pote Vudas, Pote Kudas. Thank you for joining us once again this week here on Dialogos Radio, and have a wonderful weekend.
πότε Κούδας, πότε Ιησούς και Ιούδας. Έχω καταλάβει ήδη τη ζωή μου το παιχνίδι. Έχω καταλάβει ήδη τη ζωή μου το παιχνίδι. Πότε Κούδας, πότε.